The reading for today is from Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. There's a new book out. I noticed it on the bestseller rack at Barnes & Noble the other day, entitled Committed. Now, I haven't read the book, but I did hear an interview with its author, Elizabeth Gilbert, recently. She had some interesting things to say about marriage. Here's one of them. She said that divorce rates skyrocketed. When marriage went from being a legal contract between two families to being an arrangement between two individuals arrived at by mutual consent and promise. Now, before we ooh and ah and shake our heads in disgust at that statement, because there are some things wrong with it, let's hear some of her other thoughts on marriage. She also said, based on her research, that marriage in America has become largely about filling needs. That too many people go into marriage expecting his or her spouse to be able to fill all of their needs. She said that there are far too many expectations in marriage. She said that too many people wake up at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning already wondering what their spouse can do to fill his or her needs for that day. And she herself admitted, by the way, that at that time of the day, on a Wednesday morning, the farthest thing from her mind is what she can do for her spouse. Well, we might not agree with all of Gilbert's conclusions, but she has put her finger on something that is ailing humanity, especially in America, and that is the breakdown of marriage and the crumbling foundation of the family. A breakdown and a disillusion and a dismembering and a total destruction of the foundation of society is not what God had in mind for us. Already in the book of Genesis, at the very beginning of humanity, we see that Adam did not think of marriage as a way to get needs met. No, there is a certain tone to his words here. And it is a tone that recognizes that marriage is not about him. When God presented to him his wife, when God pressed Eve's hand in his and led her to her husband on that day, there was a sense in Adam that something beautiful and marvelous had just occurred. But this wasn't arranged by him. Oh no, this was arranged by God himself. And so Adam's attitude is one of humility. He says, "God, I'll accept whom you have given me. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now, lest you begin to think that I'm a proponent of arranged marriages, let me be clear to say that I am in favor of a form of arranged marriages. Marriages arranged by God. Haven't we always said that? Based on God's word, that it is God who brings a man and a woman together? It is God who creates and builds and then sustains that love. That's what all the wedding cards say. And it's true. Today I want us to get out of our heads, though, that that is just flowery, touchy-feely language. That is the honest-to-God truth. God brings a husband and wife together. God sees them through. So what happened? Why the breakdowns? Why the heartache and divorce and pain and destruction? Well, you see, there's something in God's definition of marriage that we, over time, have taken out. There's something that God always intended to be in marriage that we humans have regarded too lightly. There's something that God has said is to be the foundation and the cornerstone of every marriage that we have apparently deemed to be a non-essential. Notice here. Notice how Adam so humbly takes the creation of Eve and God's bringing her to him as naturally resulting in marriage. And Moses, the inspired writer, does too. He continues, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Did you know that way back in the councils of eternity, God made a covenant with you? Long before you were ever born, the Bible says, God knew you. And then in the waters of baptism, he made you his own, and he made a promise to you. He said, "You are mine. I have redeemed you, and I love you. I will send my son for you. That's how much I care for you. He's going to live a perfect life for you as your substitute. He's going to become man and suffer the penalty of hell for you. He's going to die for you and then rise again to eternal life. I am committed to you. I am committed to you." God's commitment does not rest on beauty, physical attractiveness, romance, feelings, or anything like that. It doesn't even depend on our commitment to him. God's commitment is based on forgiveness and the perfect life and innocent death of his son. Elizabeth Gilbert, in that interview, talked about expectations in marriage. And I'm not sure if this is what she was getting at or not. But I know that my wife has expectations of me in marriage, and I know I have expectations of her. My wife's expectation of me is that I'm going to sin against her. I'm going to do things she doesn't like. I'm going to get my priorities all screwed up. I'm not going to help her when she needs it the most. She is real honest in her expectations of me. She knows I'm a sinner to the core. And yet, she is still committed to me. She forgives me just as Christ has forgiven me. Her commitment to me is an illustration of the commitment that God has made to each one of us. We are all, each one of us, sinners to the core. And that's an honest expectation that every married person and every person considering marriage needs to have. Yet God has loved us with an everlasting love. Can our commitment then be any less to the one God has presented to us? Amen. For our prayer today, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Please rise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.